Okay, I'm going to lead us to pray just one more prayer before we start and before we go into God's word. So let's just show our hearts together, and I'll just pray for this time of the sermon. Father, thanks so much for giving us this opportunity, this privilege, this honor to be in your house this morning and to open up your word. We just pray that you would speak to us really powerfully this morning, not through me, not by me, I mean, but just through me. Just pray, Holy Spirit, may you be the one that's orchestrating all things today. I just submit myself, Lord, as your servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in a sermon series in the book of Ephesians. So the title of today's sermon is Not Even a Hint, and you'll get what that is in just a moment. But you could turn in your Bibles or click in your phones to Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. That's going to be the passage today. Now, that passage will be up on the screen, but I always encourage us to look at it in context, and I will mention the context this morning a little bit, so it'd be good for you to have it open to there. Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. And so we've been in Ephesians, and especially Ephesians 4 and 5, Paul is getting real practical about the Christian life and calling us children of God. And as we're children of God, he calls us to live in a certain way. And he outlines that for us. And so the question that this passage answers this morning is this: how do we live as children of God? What's the lifestyle that God's called us to as Christians? And then how do we live out that lifestyle that God calls us to? Now, I wanted to start out with an illustration just to help get us thinking about the passage or how the passage begins to unfold. And so I wanted to use as an illustration a picture here, a little riddle, I guess you could call it. It's from a TV show called Brain Games. You might be familiar with it, National Geographic. And the question is this: if this bus started moving, which direction would it move in? Okay, so I'll give you a couple of options. So the first option would be that there's not enough information. And so you could say that, or this way, or this way. Okay, so how many of you would say if this bus were to start moving, it would move in this direction? Okay, it's a couple of us. And then how many of you would say that if this bus started moving, it would move in this direction? Okay, probably about the other one-third. And then how many of you say there's not enough information on this? Okay, a bunch of us would say that there's not enough information. I want to say this is not a trick question, and I wanted to point out that when 80% of American kids 10 years old and under were asked this question, they immediately got the answer. I'm actually going to show you a video of that in just a moment, that they just immediately got the answer. But in order to help maybe get us to this answer, I want to give us a hint. Okay, the title of today's sermon is Not Even a Hint, so I want to give you a hint. And the hint is this: the door that lets the passengers on and off is not on this side of the bus, it's on the other side of the bus. So which direction does this bus start moving in if it starts moving in this direction, right? Let's take a look at this 50-second video. This is of the answer to this, Brain Games, National Geographic. Let's take a look. 50-second video.
You figured out yet which direction it would move if it started driving forward? The answer is to the left. But why?
I told you before that most kids under the age of 10 could get this right. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs.
Which way is this bus going?
That way.
Why do you think that this is the front?
Because the door is on the other side.
If the door's on the other side, then that's the front.
This way.
That way.
The door is on the other side of the bus, so the driver can let the passengers off at the curb. The kids know this better than anyone.
But how do you know?
Because we're smart.
Yeah, you are smart.
Okay, so here's the reason why I bring this as an illustration this morning. We're talking about a hint. Right now, a hint can go a long way. Like this for this, it could solve a riddle, solve a problem. A hint could go a long way, solve a huge problem, right? But it could also go the other direction, where if there's a hint, it could go in a very negative direction and lead to really bad consequences too. Look at today's passage, Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. Paul's talking about this. How do we live as children of God? And then he begins to answer this question. Part of it is about a hint, or not even a hint. Okay, Ephesians 5, 3 through 5. Now it's up here on the screen in the NIV. So let's read that out loud together. Ephesians 5, 3 3-5. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. I wanted to point us first to verse 3. Verse 3 is talking about three particular areas. If we can go to the next slide. Talking about three particular areas of life. It's sexual immorality, impurity, greed. And hopefully from the illustration, we can see that, you know, Paul is saying that a hint of sexual immorality could keep on going and growing to the point of destroying families. Or a hint of impurity could keep growing and going until it causes massive pollution. Or a hint of greed could keep growing and growing to become a lifestyle and even pass on from generation to generation. And so Paul is saying that he's calling the Ephesian church, God certainly has concluded in the scripture to call us as the Christian church in our generation to rid ourselves of even the hint of sin in our lives, and specifically in these three particular areas. So let me put it this way for point number one. Point number one, how do we live as children of God? Deal with sin as soon as possible. And so Paul is telling the Ephesian church, who is struggling with, you know, all sorts of sin, but specifically about these three areas, which certainly in our generation, in our culture, we certainly struggle with it too, sexual immorality, impurity, greed. And he's telling them, listen, not even a hint, but I'm calling you to deal with it as soon as possible. Paul loved the Ephesian church. God loves our church. God loves the church in this generation. And God is saying, I love you so much that I'm calling you that even at this hint, this starting point, which could be a hint, I'm calling you to deal with it as soon as possible. I wanted to use as an illustration, the illustration of compound interest. Compound interest, just imagine if someone made an initial investment of a relatively small amount, let's say $100. Now I know that for some of us, $100 could be a lot. Certainly to some people in this world, it's a lot, but in our demographic, if it's a one-time investment of $100, probably not so much, if you could let me call it a hint. So $100 investment, initial investment, no other investment, just one-time investment. The first year, it would grow to $110, 10% interest. 10% interest, $110. Second year, it compounds because you're not getting interest on the initial investment. You're getting interest on the interest. It's going to grow to $121. It's a hint. It's not that much. It's marginal. But over a long period of time, and I chose the year 62 just because 62 is the average retirement age in America these days, it would grow to almost $37,000. Something that's a hint, that's marginal, that's fractional, grows over time and compounds to the point that $37,000 could probably buy you a luxury car, minus inflation. And so for us, as sin could be something that's, you know, we could say, you know, what's, you know, a wandering glance. It's not going to make it or break it. You know, a certain thought, a certain inappropriate flirtation. It's not going to make it or break it. But God and Paul cared about the Ephesian church so much to say, but that could compound over time if you're not dealing with it quickly and you're leaving the hint there. It could end up being something, if you let me put it this way, $37,000. You know, this passage is talking about verse 3 is talking about three specific areas of life, sexual immorality, it's talking about impurity, it's talking about greed. Let me just kind of pause for a moment and make a specific application about sexual immorality. Ephesus was a city that's very much, in many ways, I've been mentioning along the way, very similar to Los Angeles. There was sexual immorality there. A hot button topic in our culture these days, in our day and age and culture, is the homosexuality, LGBT issue. But I just wanted to say this morning, you know, for Paul, for God, he was not differentiating between heterosexual sin or homosexual sin, or really any kind of sin, but he was saying, listen, when it comes to sin, Paul and God were saying, I love you so much that I'm saying that we need to deal with it even at the hint level, even at this very beginning level. And you might be here this morning and you didn't walk into church with this gross sexual sin, but right now you might be convicted about a hint of sin. And know that Paul, in his love for the Ephesian church and God's love for the Ephesian church, was speaking to them about the hint of sin and saying, hey, listen, deal with that hint of sin, lest it compound year after year after year and lead to destruction that could, you know, that some of us sadly know about, that could just totally destroy families and generations. So this morning, if God is convicting you this morning of a hint of sin, would you bring that to him in confession? Would you bring that before him and say, God, I want to align with your word, and begin to bring that to him in prayer and say, God, would you help me in that? But this morning, you might also be here and you say, well, I don't just have a hint of sin. Actually, it's compounded over time, maybe in these three areas, maybe in other areas. And I just wanted to say, what, you know, Ephesians 4 and 5, and I mentioned it last week, is talking about the light of Jesus shining upon our lives, right? And we saw that imagery, especially in last week's passage. And I just wanted to say this morning, you know, when a bright light hits a dimly lit room, it's going to completely illuminate that room. The same way that if a bright light came into a pitch black room and shined upon a pitch black room, it's going to also illuminate the room. And this morning, I want to say, if you're here and you would say it's not just a hint, but it's compounded sin over time to the point that maybe it seems like it's out of control, know that if you call out for the light of Jesus, even for a pitch black room, it's going to illuminate it the same way that it would illumine a partly lit room. I feel like that's God, that God wants to give us that imagery this morning in light of all that it's saying in Ephesians 4 and 5. Now, verse 3 is talking about these specific areas. Sexual immorality, it's talking about impurity, it's talking about greed. Verse 4 talks about another area of life. So can we just read out loud again, verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So specifically, verse 4 is talking about our speech. But if I could take it deeper, it's talking about our thought life, right? Because our thoughts is where our speech comes from. And so Paul is speaking about, you know, this area of life and saying we could end up going the route of having obscene thoughts or foolish talk in our minds or coming out of our mouths, coarse joking in our minds or coming out of our mouths. But what Paul was calling the Ephesian church to, instead of that, he was calling them to make a choice to begin to go to God and begin to thank God for their lives, or thank God for the blessings in their lives. That's something that we can make a choice about, something that we can take a practical step in. Instead of having the obscene thoughts, obscene, you know, thoughts or speech coming out, that we come to God and say, God, I'm making this decision right now to give you thanks and praise for certain things that are happening. Let me put it this way for point number two. How do we live as children of God? Think thankful thoughts to God. I had a pretty powerful experience last week. About 8:30 in the morning, I came to church, and I was on the other side of the building. And last Sunday was sort of a hard Sunday morning for me, because I mentioned last week that I had a back injury, and so Sunday morning I was certainly in pain. And on top of that, our family had gotten sick, so Evangeline's kind of under the weather. Levi was under the weather. Silas wasn't sick, but I was starting to catch what they had, and so we were dealing with that. There was a couple of ministry things that were on my mind last Sunday morning, so I was on the other side of the building, and I felt like that God, I was just trying to, like, you know, focus myself for the day's ministry and for the service last week, and I just felt like that God said to me, just make a list of the things that you are thankful for. Make a list of the things that you're thanking me for. And so I made this list, and some of them, you know, were personal things, but some of them were church things. And so I was just making this list on my phone last week, and I just want to share with you a couple of them, just things that I was thankful for that I listed out to God. I was thanking God for getting us through the flood situation. Some of you know, January, February, March, we had $200,000 worth of damage on the other side, and God got us through. I was thanking God for processing the fundraising to pass the vote. Some of you know that a couple months ago we passed a vote to purchase this building, that we're now in full fundraising mode. I was thanking God last Sunday morning that God, that Evangeline had the opportunity to lead worship at the International Vineyard Conference during the summer. I was thanking God that in the last 6 months we've been experiencing healing, physical healings in our church. Some of you know about. I was praising God for that we've been seeing more baptisms in our congregation. I was praising God that I was seeing our worship team get stronger. Recently, I was praising God that we've been seeing several people get married in our congregation recently, that we saw a recent birth in our congregation, that we've been starting discipleship groups, that praising God for Cornerstone, praising God for the social justice ministry. I'm just listing out a couple of things. I won't read you the whole list. But this is my point, that it tuned me into God's presence. There was a lot of things that were on my mind, a lot of things that my mind wanted to go in. There's a lot of tough things that was going on even last Sunday morning. But it really tuned me into God's presence to sit down and say, you know, I'm gonna refocus myself to God, and I'm going to start thanking God for what he is doing in my life. And that is the posture that Ephesians, or that this particular passage especially, is called us to. When Paul loved the church, he said, I want to see you fruitful, successful, thriving in a walk with God. And for that, he gave them this kind of a rebuke, sort of, saying instead of these obscene thoughts, this obscene language, this foolish talk, this coarse joking, would you refocus yourself and just turn to God and begin to thank God? You know, you might say, well, you know, am I just supposed to ignore and just forget about and just don't even, you know, just pretend it's not there, the tough things that are happening in my life? And I just want to read a little excerpt from another one of Paul's letters in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Can we just read this out loud? This is another one of Paul's letters to another church that he loved. Let's read it together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul was saying, listen, abundant life, the life of peace, the life of true peace, is a posture of thanksgiving towards God. And as we put it in our minds and our hearts, thanksgiving towards God, just refocusing ourselves at thanksgiving towards God, in that posture and in that place, then we submit and present our requests before God. That's the posture of prayer that he calls us to. That's the posture of prayer that Paul was speaking to this church that he loved, saying, would you just refocus yourself, fill your heart and your mind with thanksgiving? Just, if I could put it that way, just list it out. Just fill it up with thanksgiving. Not the obscene talk, not the foolish talk, not the coarse joking. Fill up your mind and your heart with that thanksgiving. And then in that posture, present your request to God. Don't ignore the tough things, but bring to him the tough things with a heart of thanksgiving. This is what Paul was calling them to. So you might think at this point, you know, is this all sheer willpower? We live as children of God by just sheer willpower. We have to confess our sin. We have to deal with our sin early on. We need to be thankful. We need to refocus ourselves and be thankful. Is there any part that God plays in all of this? And Paul's landing point in verse 4 is the part that God plays. So let's look at verse 4. If we can read it out loud together. Verse 5. Verse 5, let's read it out loud together. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now we as Christians, we believe that we inherit from God. I mean, the Bible tells us that we are heirs of God. The Bible tells us that we are made in his image. The Bible tells us that we are partakers of his divine nature. So the Bible certainly tells us that we inherit good things, God things, even divine nature from God. So if I could put it like this, when it comes to us living out the Christian life, God doesn't just leave us by ourselves, but he tells us that we're going to do this through our inheritance or through what we inherit from God. And if we inherit from God, who is perfect, who is all able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, then that is a good place for us as Christians. So point number 3 is, how do we live as children of God? Know that we have already inherited all that we need. And I want to bring an image to this. I wanted to use my kids as an illustration. My older son, Silas, he's 3 years old. My younger son, Levi, he's 15 months old. And in these past 3 years, I've had this experience happen to me several times. And it just happened to me this past week too. So what happened is sometimes I'll be washing my hands in the restroom. And so I wash my hands, and then I look up into the mirror, and I see my kids. I see Levi, or I see Silas, but especially I see Levi because he looks more like me. And so I see, like, you know, because there's certain, you know, facial features and everything. And so I see that. I don't really see them, but I see because that they have inherited these traits from me, which is something that's very natural, which is something that is not by effort, but just something where it just comes through a natural process. And I wanted to say that when it comes to us living out our lives for God or as children of God, there's a part of it that is very natural. There's a part of it that is just simply us because we are Christians, because we have a relationship with God, because we are his kids, that we begin to just natural outflow out of our lives is this godliness. The natural outflow out of our lives would be that we desire to be pure. The natural outflow of our lives would be the thanksgiving, etc. But I wanted to say this. We know stories where there are people that forsake their inheritance. There's actually a famous story in the Bible of that, of a person that ended up forsaking their inheritance. We know stories of people that have that situations would destroy their relationship with the earthly parents to the point that there's no relationship that's there, so there's no opportunity for the inheritance. And I wanted to say this morning, that's the reason why really Paul's overarching point in Ephesians, and or certainly God's overarching point to the church, is just to keep on turning ourselves towards Jesus, turning ourselves towards God, to keep on abiding in Christ, to keep on looking to him, because that's where the strength is. That's where the power is. Because sometimes when we, you know, life is just so distracting at times, and things that pull us in all sorts of directions. And this morning, we could have walked in being pulled in another direction, and we're just off focus of God. And Paul's word to them was like, I need to remind you of your inheritance. I need to remind you that you have inherited all that you need. But when we begin to be distracted and pulled away off focus and pulled out, maybe even out of a right relationship with God, that's where we begin to run into trouble. That's where we begin to run into situations where we don't even know how we can live as children of God. And we begin to just be all flustered about that. And this morning, if you're here, and this passage, I would say, talks about especially three key areas of life. This passage is talking about the sexual area of life. This passage is talking about greed. This passage is talking about our speech / our thought life. And this morning, if you're here and in those three areas, if something just seems out of whack and out of line with God's word, this morning, we're going to pray in just a moment. And I'll lead us into some specific prayers, but really the prayer is, God, I just want to turn back to you. Jesus, I just turn back to you. I've been off alignment and focused in another direction, but this morning I just turn back to you, to Jesus. And if Ephesians 4 and 5, this overarching imagery of just the light of Jesus just shining upon our lives, eating up the darkness is what God desires to do. Would you join me? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? We're just going to go before God in prayer. This time I'll invite up the worship team, prayer ministry team. You can come up to in this time. These three areas specifically. The sexual area of life, this passage talks about greed, how we handle money, how we view money. This other area of speech, thoughts. I always remind us to keep our eyes closed and heads bowed during this time because people are making some real personal responses to God in this time. So please help us make this a private moment for people that they can have with God just by keeping your eyes closed, heads bowed. Are you here this morning that you would say that you're off alignment with God's word when it comes to these three areas of life? Sexual area of life, greed, speech, or thought life. And that you would come before God in confession, saying sorry to God. And also just this prayer of God, would you help me to live in alignment with your word? All eyes closed. Make this a private moment for everyone to respond to God. These three areas of life, would you put your hand up if you're confessing to God in these areas and you're asking for God's help? Just put your hand all the way up and then down. That's just you communicating with God. God knows your heart. Just in your heart, just say sorry to God. Just acknowledge that sin. Say sorry to God. And I want to tell you by the power of his word that he forgives you. If you come with a genuine heart to ask for forgiveness, God's word says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He'll forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I just pray this prayer, Lord, on behalf of the ones of us that raised our hands. We just ask you for forgiveness in these areas. And we just pray that you would help us to live in alignment with your word. Lord, because that's the place of abundant life. That's the place of blessing. That's a place where we want to be as Christians. So please help us, Lord, in those areas. Today's passage calls us to thanksgiving. I just want to pause for 1 minute, a 1 minute period of time where we just fill our hearts and our minds with thanksgiving. This doesn't mean that we ignore the tough things that are going on, because in just a moment, we will respond to all the rest that Paul said, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. But for this one moment, 1 minute, would you just begin to thank God in your heart and in your mind for what God has been doing in your life, what God's been doing in your work, what God's been doing in your school life, what God has been doing in your relationships, what God's been doing in your ministry. Just fill your heart and your mind with thanksgiving. Not with obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking. Fill your mind with thanksgiving to God. Let's think thankful thoughts to God for 1 minute. I just keep track of time. Just use this minute to thank God. Hearts and our minds filled with thanksgiving. Now would be a perfect time and a perfect posture to now present our requests to God. In this time, as we worship, we're going to worship the two more songs. This is our time of prayer. Of course, you can certainly pray on your own, but our prayer team is up here. We'd love to pray for any and all needs. It doesn't have to be related to the sermon. People come up all the time with other needs. But with our hearts and our minds filled with thanksgiving, now let's present our requests to God, that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Would you stand with me as we close out our service? We'll worship the Lord with these two songs. Our prayer team will be up here. We'd love to pray for you for any and all needs. And so, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you to do what only you can do. Lord, as we come before you with certain prayers and requests, Lord, Holy Spirit, we just ask for you to do your work. In Jesus' name.